Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rianne Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Friday. Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Heck yeah! It's like a roller coaster ride. Hell yeah! It's Friday, mother freakers.
Time to get the show on the road. Noah, play Friday by Rebecca Black.
No, please don't. Please don't. Because it plays every time you say that, the song starts playing in my head and I can't imagine, and I imagine it does for our listeners as well, and that's the worst song to have stuck in your head sometimes.
It is, but also the best.
Yeah.
Anyways, Francesca, it's lovely to be here with you today, as it always. Is. And
we're gathered here today to speak together.
Wow. That was really good. Yeah. They wouldn't hire you at church.
Nope.
Anyways, it's time to get into the show, but first, let's talk about Macy's, our favorite place to shop, especially it's holiday season, it's gift-giving season. I've been telling you guys this every single episode now. Guys, if you haven't bought your gifts yet, what the hell are you doing? I need to shake you. I need to wake you up right now and say, buy your goddamn gifts from Macy's.com and use promo code CHICKS and you'll get 30% off. What are you doing? Why aren't you doing it? Go do it right now. I know sounds like I'm yelling at you.
They won't get 30% off.
They won't get 30% off? It's over. Never mind, guys. Forget it. You know what? You missed out.
Hey, we said on Wednesday, this was the last day and it was the last day.
And you know what? So I just fooled you because I wanted to make you feel upset and tell you that you should use a promo code before it runs out. Yep. So thank you for that, friend.
You're welcome.
Anyways, go to Macy's.com, shop away. You can also go to Macy's.com/chicksintheoffice and shop everything Fran and I have been wearing. I also am wearing my shoes from Macy's.
Wow. They're touching.
I'm sisters? Wearing, more like twins, Annie.
And you know what? We do kind of wear the same size shoe.
Oh my God, they're
like perfectly aligned. I am wearing, oh my God.
Give a nice stretch.
I have to shave my legs. Don't look.
Oh, give me a peek. I'm a hairiest freak.
Wow, we're so flexible. This is, you know what? Now that we know that YouTube is happening, we're playing up for the cameras.
We are. We're
showboating
we're becoming
a little bit.
Yeah, we're becoming entertainers.
We're playing it up for the cameras. But I am wearing Lucky Brand boots today. They are like a dark gray color, leather boots, little booties, super, super cute, and purchased at Macy's.
I'm wearing Steve Madden white combat boots, also purchased at Macy's. I'm usually a black combat boot girl.
Comboot boot.
Yeah, comboot. Can't speak today. Usually a white combat boot. Nope, usually
nope,
a black combat boot girl, but I wanted to get white so that I can mix it up with some different outfits, you know, change it up a little bit.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at today. And, you know, the people who don't listen on YouTube are going to get so pissed off if we keep mentioning YouTube. So I'm sorry about that.
If you want to look at the boots, you know where to find them.
Yeah, Chicks in the Office. Go subscribe, guys. It's the holiday season. Give us a little gift of subscription.
We're almost at 50, right?
We got a little ways to go. We're at like 42 and a half.
Okay, that's almost to 50. Almost. Let's get to 50.
Enough people listen. We're like, if everyone listening right now just went in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just come on, guys. Come on. It's holiday season.
Your gift to us.
Yeah, we give
50K
you 50K.
We
give
YouTube.
You this for free. It's free to subscribe. Just get us to 50K. What do we got to do? What should we do? What should we do for the people if we get to 50K on YouTube?
Well, Harry Styles will come on the podcast once we hit 50. No, no, he
won't.
No,
you just
made everyone
sad.
I mean, clearly, that won't happen.
Oh, man.
I love that. That was a great joke that just completely flopped. Neither of us laughed. We got more upset.
Everyone at
anything.
Home was probably laughing. Yeah.
No, they were laughing. It was funny. It was funny, but also sad at the same time. Listen, guys, we love you so very much. We appreciate you following and listening along and sending us really nice messages. So it's like I said, it's the holiday season. Subscribe.
The least you can
do. Subscribe to the podcast as well if you don't listen on YouTube. Francesca.
Yeah, that would be great.
How are you doing today? What's going on?
Nothing. Like, nothing in a good way, though. You know, when it's just like getting ready for the end of the year. Like, I'm just riding it out. Let's end this year. I'm watching a lot of television. and really not doing much of anything else. It's so boring, but what is there to do?
Why do I feel like every time I ask you how you are and what's going on, you're just like, I'm fine, I'm boring. Like, it's like, there's gotta be, is there something else going on in the brain? Like, do you ever think about things often?
All the time.
Anything that...
All the time I do think about things, yeah.
But anything that comes to your mind that you're like, I gotta get this off my chest.
You know, it does, but then I forget.
You got to start writing them down.
I know.
Because this should be a place of, like, and you therapy know what? Almost.
There was something that I was thinking about this morning.
Push really hard and you'll remember
it. Now I don't remember what it is. That is really unfortunate. It wasn't important, but it was something that I definitely was thinking about. I want to say this morning when I was getting ready. And was it something about my shower? No. I don't know. I'm in my apartment.
I'm looking at her very confused.
I'm in my apartment alone right now. And when that starts to happen, like, I just kind of, like, start talking to myself and then I forget, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Start writing it down. We want to know more of your thoughts. Okay. What's going on in that noggin of yours?
I will write it down. I have a notebook, but I forgot it at the office. But I'm bringing it home now, so.
Okay. Yeah, you have a notebook that you don't use. Is what
no, I use it. No, I use it all the time. But I brought it to the office for the Bachelorette stuff. You saw I wrote all the notes from the episode in there.
Yeah.
And then I forgot it here. But that was 2 days ago, so now I'll bring it back.
Okay.
So it's only missing 2 days.
All right, fair enough. It's
and
like
my
a journal.
Christmas shopping in there.
Oh, very important. Yeah. Holiday gift-giving season, for sure. Mm-hmm. This happened to me the other day when we were talking. I was like, Fran, I had something to tell you. What is it? Finally remembered what it was.
Yeah.
Jay Alvarez's sex tape.
Oh, yes.
Wanted to talk about that with you because I had texted you and I was like, Fran, Jay Alvarez's sex tape. Yep. You need to check it out ASAP. And then you watched it and never got back to me about it. You never told me your thoughts
Saturday
on
night,
it.
And I'm drank appalled. A lot. And Saturday night, this was what happened. You texted me about it. I was like, mental note, remember to watch. I then got into bed Saturday night and definitely, you know, had a lovely night of drinking alcohol and watched it and then went to sleep and then completely forgot I watched it until I saw a promo for BFF's pod. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the sex tape, and I was like, holy shit, I know what they're talking about, because I watched that. Like, the memory came flooding back into my brain, which is when I had, I had texted you about it then, because I was like, I just forgot in my state that we were texting about it. And then I remembered.
I don't know how you could watch that video and then not immediately text your friends after and be like, holy fuck, that was one of the hottest things I've ever seen.
Well,
unless you didn't feel that way about it, but I will say it was a hot video. It was a music video. It wasn't even a sex tape. It was a full-on music video. No, did you see it?
I watched it.
I'm picturing it like a selfie kind
no.
of.
No.
Oh, it's no, like a
I
shot.
Gotta,
like
I got to say
it. It is like a music video.
It's unreal. It's like the song from Mean Girls when they're walking down the hallway. It's so good.
It's because I was drunk, though. Like, I watched it and was like, I had thoughts about it, but I just wanted to go to sleep at that point.
Fair enough. I just wanted to talk about it. No,
and the thing is you texted me all your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
So in my head, when I was watching it, I was like, she was right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, and then I put my phone down and went to sleep.
Like, Fair enough. Yeah. I just was shocked when I said to you, oh, I wanted you to watch Jay Alvarez's sex tape. And you were like, I watched it already. And I was like, and you didn't say anything to me? But now clearing up that you were drunk, it makes total sense that you did not reach out to me after. Now we've talked about it. We can all address that we've seen it, the coconut oil. It was hot. I saw people being like, some people were like, oh my god, it was the hottest thing ever. Some people were like, oh, that was just vanilla. Like, I think that was a hot sex tape. One of the hottest sex tapes I've ever seen, because usually when I see a sex tape, it's awkward.
Seems
better than ASAP Rocky.
Jay is
way better than ASAP Rocky's, and I love ASAP Rocky, but Noah, this thing is a goddamn feature film.
It is.
It's like Steven Spielberg directed
Someone else was there filming it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There was a videographer.
Yeah.
For sure.
This was released with a purpose. Like, this felt like...
Okay, I thought it was, this, like, leaked. But he put it out?
No, he did not. I don't think he personally put it out. But the way it was made it seem like... With the intention that people would see it at some point.
I'm right? going to find it right now, so that's why I'm looking at my phone, Noah, by the way. I'm trying to find this sex tape. But I actually went to his Instagram after, and all of his comments were shut off. And I feel like if you were like, oh, my sex tape leaked, wink, wink,
yeah.
you would leave your comments on for that engagement.
Right. So then, all right, well, you know, I personally don't understand the meaning of a highly produced video like that for the sake of
it was
personal
taken down
release.
This media has been disabled in response to a report by the copyright owner. No! I'm distraught.
I'm sure it's on the web.
I'm sure
somewhere.
I could find it.
I'm sure it's on the web somewhere.
I just want to get Noah's like immediate
but Jay
reaction.
Like Jay seems very vanilla.
I tried
to
finding
begin
it on
with
Pornhub.
As a man, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was like as good, I felt like it was as good as it's going to get for him, you know what I'm, you know?
Also, I don't know what kind of crazy ass sex people are having that they're like, oh man, this was so vanilla. It was like, that looked pretty good to me.
Yeah, yes.
Obviously, you know, it was only a minute, so I'm sure there was a lot of stuff that
we
didn't see.
That's actually funny. I searched Jay Alvarez sex tape into Google. The first two links that come up is Pornhub 1, and then the second one is Plan Brie Uncut.
Good stuff.
That's, oh my God, it is. That's really hilarious. But I can't find this video anywhere on Pornhub. I'm sorry. This is like...
Well, we don't need to find it right now. It's not where this is. We've both seen it.
Yeah, but I wanted Noah to see it, which is...
Oh, yeah. I'll report back next podcast.
Oh, I got it. Oh, no, it was taken down again. Never mind. Yeah, That's the last hope. It was on Pornhub, taken down. So I guess it was he didn't want it out there.
Right.
Because he scrubbed the internet of it.
Yeah. Which just says a lot about Jay, that he wants those videos for his own personal viewing. Like, that's a produced video. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta really love yourself to make a video like that if you just want to watch it for yourself.
You gotta really just love the art of sex.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that was art.
It had a lot of elements.
There was a lot of elements, a lot of great
quick
shots
cuts,
in there. Yeah,
like music.
It was
like, yeah.
I would give it an 89% on Rotten Tomatoes
for the 1 minute clip.
For the 1 minute clip,
short film.
I'm not like I'm taking the sex out of it just based on the way
like
it was edited
value.
And filmed.
Yeah.
Production value. You
it
would
had
be
great production value.
No, you would be so impressed. Yeah. you would love this.
I'd be like, maybe I should get into this field.
Yeah, hit up Jay Alvarez. Hey,
production. Yeah, next you're looking. Time you need, I have some ideas.
You probably would. Anyways.
Jay does always put out videos that you're like all this travel stuff. You'd be like, damn, I want to go there. Damn, I want to do that. He clearly feels the same way about filming him sex.
Yeah, he's passionate. Passionate guy. Speaking of passion, this isn't really on the same subject, but I started binge watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh,
and it's my first time.
I forgot about that. Maybe that was what I wanted to talk about.
Me watching Grey's Anatomy. Yes. I did start watching. It's my first time watching Grey's Anatomy. When I was younger, my mom she worked on Thursdays, and then so she would record. She didn't work that late. She was home in time. I don't know why I'm giving this much information, but she would record it so that on Friday morning when she was off, she would be able to like sit back, relax, and watch Grey's Anatomy. So sometimes when I would stay home from school, I'd catch an episode with my mom or something. Yeah. And I've seen episodes here and there. Specifically, I remember the Mandy Moore episode. But I never watched it from the beginning. I didn't know any context. I didn't know they were interns.
You
I knew nothing about it.
I didn't fall in love with the characters.
No.
You had no emotional connection to them.
Oh, my God. Noah's watching
it. Is that it?
Yeah.
I found it on Twitter.
Okay, watch it.
Oh, well, that does.
Volume up,
right,
because
place.
You got to hear the song connected to it. That's what makes it.
You want me to play it?
Yeah. For yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, these are some wild angles.
Yeah.
No, yeah, this has like a homemade but still like quality production.
Yeah.
Like the lighting and everything.
Give your live commentary.
Yeah, it's well cut to the music.
Yes, let's get your professional opinion on the editing.
Just
of
strictly production wise, yeah, good for him.
Yeah. Oh, man. That gave me a good laugh. Back to Grey's Anatomy. So I started watching from the beginning, and oh my God, I am so sucked in. I'm loving it. I know people have prepared me that it's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be a roller coaster filled with emotions. I'm going to cry a lot. I already cried a lot.
I cry all the time watching, so.
The surgeries are tough to watch.
You get used to it.
But yes, I'm now on the seventh or eighth episode, and I'm like, all right, you know, give me the fucking head surgery. Give me the brain. Well, let's just watch
Who's your favorite character?
Right now, I really like George, just because I feel like I feel bad for him. And don't spoil it, but I just feel like something really bad's going to happen to him. And
see,
you
now
guys,
I'm worried that fans are going to try to spoil it for you.
No, don't spoil it. No. I know,
because the thing is great. Like, Grey's Anatomy fans love the original episodes and those original characters so much that like there's so much joy watching someone else get to experience it for the first time that there's respect.
You
there.
Have to don't follow this season. Like, don't look at
No, I won't.
Twitter,
but I already know what I've seen the stuff.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil
We've literally
for other
texted about it in our group chat. So she has some kind of an idea.
I know what happens to a lot of the characters.
Yes. But
I don't
know
how
or
it
why
happens,
or when.
Why. I don't know the relationships. I don't know anything. And I'm all in. I get why they call him McDreamy now. He's dreamy. I get that.
Wait until you meet McSteamy.
Oh my God. There's a McSteamy and a McDreamy. Woo! Yeah. I can't take it, but I can. Also, Ellen Pompeo looks so young in the first episodes, and her voice is just amazing. I have to point that out. She has such a soothing voice to watch. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm completely sucked in. I don't think I'll watch anything else for a while now because it's going to take me years. It's going to take me years to finish the show.
I would say like...
That's what you think, but...
yeah.
6 or 7 like is when I kind of just like faded.
I mean, we're currently on season 17, so...
I don't know if I'll make it that far.
No, that is fair. There is definitely, it seems like, a connection with a lot of the original cast with what's going on in season 17, if for those that are watching it. But I would think a lot of people dropped off around...
Maybe 10.
No, I think like... Hold on, I gotta without
saying... The music
is also saying,
very good.
Without saying what... It was.
The music is good, Noah. I've noticed that.
Season, like, 11 and 12, I think. After that, I think lost a lot of people, too.
I think that I'll make it.
But you got a solid, like, 10 really good seasons to watch.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm really enjoying it. Obviously, I cry a lot at, like, normal TV shows, so I'm already crying a lot at this. There's a lot of emotion. I've diagnosed myself with 3 obscure diseases already because... Yeah. I don't feel well often, but in a way that's like this is a perfect week to explain this. Every few weeks, it'll hit me. I'll be like, God, why don't I feel right? Like, I'm just feeling so down.
Yeah.
You know, I look in the mirror. I hate it. Like, oh, why do I feel this way? And then I think about that I treat my body in the most unhealthy way possible.
Yeah.
I don't eat right. You know, I stay up late a lot of nights, go to bed late. You know, then I'm sleeping in. I don't go to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm drinking soda. I'm drinking iced tea. I'm not drinking enough water.
Yeah.
I'm treating my body like absolute shit. It's a garbage disposal. And then I realize, I'm like, oh, that's definitely why you don't feel well.
Yeah.
But before I get to the point where I'm like, that's why you don't feel well, you need to start going to the gym, which I did start going this week, guys. Let's get on that grind. If you're feeling like me, let's get on that gym grind, okay? Let's do it together. Let's pump each other up because it's the only way we're going to feel better, okay? Anyways, but in between that time, I realized that I am a hypochondriac.
Mm.
I realized that while watching Grey's Anatomy because I'm like, I've been watching the show, like I said, 7 or 8 episodes. I already think I have half these things. I think that when I got surgery in 2017, somebody left a towel in me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that had to have happened.
Yeah.
Why do I still feel bad?
Right.
Why do I not? Why is my endometriosis not fixed?
Right.
And then I remember it's a thing that doesn't entirely go away.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm like, all right, let's come back around. But I feel like people can relate to that, like watching this show. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, something like this must have happened to me. I'm living with it. I'm going to die soon. I'm going to get past that.
Yeah.
We'll get through that. That's the only issue I'm having so far with the show is that I'm diagnosing myself too much. But as you go on, I'm sure you just forget about it.
You definitely do because there's just so much, like, there's just so many that you're just like, you're just watching as a viewer. And it is fun because they do have a lot of great, like, guest appearances that you forget were even on, and then you watch back and you're like, oh my God, like this person was a patient. This person was a patient. So there's some good ones. I think you are going to love it. I mean, it's the best. It's really one of the best shows ever.
Who are your guys' favorite characters?
Oh.
I definitely like George a lot, but I'm trying to think back to like the original. I like Shepard. Or not Shepard. What's the...
Derek.
Bailey.
Oh, Bailey.
Bailey. I like Bailey.
Yeah, Bailey's great. I've always
Hank likes
Bailey. Yeah, yeah, no, I've always liked... Christina was one of my favorites. And... I want
Sandra
to say,
O is great.
Yes, she is phenomenal. And I do like a lot of the... I do like a lot of the newer characters. It's hard because, like, there's the original one. Like, I like Jo. She's been around. But, I mean, Jo's been around for a long time. And...
Lexi. Not there yet, but...
Yeah.
How did you guys feel about Katherine Heigl, Izzy?
I like her character in the show, I think.
Yeah. I always liked Izzy. Izzy made some... Izzy made some mistakes I didn't like, but
okay.
Other than that,
yeah, it's hard that I don't.
It's
know
really
anything.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
I know
really,
it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Like I can't really give reasoning behind a lot of things.
I think my I like Izzy right now. Like
yeah.
I have no. I'm like I said, I'm not too deep into
yeah.
it, and right now I like Izzy. But I will say, sometimes it's hard to watch Katherine Heigl thinking about all the times that people have said she's difficult to work with.
Yeah, yeah,
and now
yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I know. You have to think of her as, like, not her and as solely Izzy.
Right. It's like, I didn't work on the show. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have any problems with her.
Yep. Yep.
So,
yep.
It is what it is. I'm enjoying it. Hop on the ride with me, guys. If you haven't watched Grey's Anatomy yet, which I'm sure you have because I feel like I'm the only person who hasn't, come on. Come on
yeah.
the train with me. Let's go on this journey together. Or
so
if you
great.
Have watched and you've been wanting to rewatch, then start rewatching it.
This is a good time for it.
Yeah, it's a good time. People have been concerned about me, though. They
Why?
Were messaging me like, are you okay? Because when I watch Grey's Anatomy, it's because I'm like depressed and not
oh.
feeling well. And I'm like, well, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm watching
right.
it.
Like, I think people think that when you go back and watch it for like the third time. Like I've watched it back from the beginning, not all the way to where we are now, but probably to about like 9 or 10. Like I think probably twice now. So now it's a comfort thing. So I get what people are saying. Then you go back and watch from the beginning again, but it's a must when you've never done it before. It's a whole different experience.
Yeah. It's definitely something I'm enjoying. I don't even want to be here right now. I'd rather be
home
watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
So let's get on with
Fair.
The show. Let's get into today's topics. We will
We didn't even say it. Taylor Swift has an album coming out.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Okay, well.
Taylor Swift has an album coming out.
And we're not going to be able to talk about it because.
We'll talk about it on Monday.
We'll talk about it on Monday. We will go through it. Unfortunately, we do, you know, record the show before midnight on
yeah.
Thursdays. So.
I mean, even then, you'd have to, like, wait until, like, 1 o'clock to, like, have listened
yeah.
to the whole
and
thing.
To,
and then,
to like, be honest, I like having the weekend to digest the album because I will listen multiple times because the first you listen one time you have your like knee-jerk gut reaction, then you listen a couple times and maybe saw like your favorites change or you have different opinions, so I like sitting with it for the weekend. We'll talk about it for Monday's episode, but freaking Taylor Swift, man, what is, she's just we got to pay her overtime or something.
Yeah,
like, what
well, we
is
don't.
Going
Somebody
on?
Has to.
Oh, no.
We don't
It'll
have
be me when I end up buying her more merch.
Right.
Because it's funny because, like, my Folklore stuff came, like, last week. Like, my sweatshirt and my vinyl came, like, last week. So can't wait to order the Evermore stuff. And it'll come in 4 months.
When she puts out another album.
Yep, at this pace.
Yeah. Very impressive by Taylor Swift. I mean, I did say in one of our videos, and I messed up. I said, I don't remember the last time somebody did this. Ariana Grande did do it with
yeah.
Sweetener and Thank You Next. And Bad Bunny released like 3 albums this year. So it is possible, but
yeah.
it is shocking because it is Taylor Swift and things are more calculated with her.
Right.
She did a lot
and
of planning.
Lover was like not that, you know, Lover
yeah.
wasn't long ago either. So it feels like even more.
Right. Lover was in the end of 2019. So
yeah
it has been a short amount of time with 3 albums now, and I feel like with Taylor Swift we've usually seen more calculated moves, you know, Easter eggs here and there where people are picking up on it. She did post a picture that she
August.
Did post before Folklore
yeah.
a few weeks ago, and everyone was like, wow, is Taylor Swift releasing new music? And we all had thought that it was her re-recording her songs, and that
was
it.
She said that at that award show. So do you think she was lying, or do you think
I think she is working on re-recording her new music, but was also making a new album.
Right. I think maybe she felt comfortable sharing that because she did have this other little secret that she was holding
on to. And that, that Ryan Reynolds ad for MASH that he had come out, it was with Love Story playing in the background, but it was the re-recorded version of Love Story. So she is clearly doing that as well. And she had said, you know, my friend Ryan Reynolds had asked me for this and happily obliged. And so she's definitely doing
that.
But on top of that is
it all
this.
At once and was like, here's half. We'll put it out now as Folklore. And then the other half is another album.
That's very possible. I feel like she might have waited. I think she loved making Folklore so much and it was so different for her. And then she put out Folklore and saw the response from it and everybody loved it so much that she was like, oh, I can do this again.
She made Folklore this genre again
and like keep doing that folky stuff.
When did she
start
recording Folklore? It was like, she said it. It was like,
probably April-ish.
So then
the idea came out in July.
She could have started recording like end of July, a new album put it out.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, or maybe these were songs that just didn't make the first cut, and then she realized that she ended up liking them.
Yeah.
So either way, props to Taylor Swift. Really excited to listen to the album. I also think the time that this is coming out is more fitting than when Folklore came out in July. Obviously, Folklore is great, and people still loved it, even though it came out in the middle of the summer. Now we're, you know, fall, winter months. Yeah. We're reaching that point
cozy
where people will listen to
time.
Folklore to Evermore back to back. It's like we're getting real cozy vibes from Taylor Swift.
Yeah, definitely. So, you guys listening, I hope that you listen to this episode and then listen to...
Yeah, make us a priority.
Because that one's out. Or you can listen to the album first and then us. That's okay.
Oh, you're so sweet, friend. Yeah. all right, let's get into today's topics. We have Olivia Jade joins the Red Table.
She
went to the table. She brought the college admissions scandal to the table.
She brought it to the table.
Pretty intense. Jessica Simpson announces that she will be making a show about her life in her early 20s. Very exciting. And we had Tayshia go on Ellen. Ellen's a monster.
I'm confused.
Ellen's
confused.
A freaking monster, okay? And we're going to talk about it because some shit was revealed that I don't think should have been revealed just yet. The season's not over and it feels like it is. And we also have an awesome interview with Jen Atkin, celebrity hairstylist. If you guys follow all the celebrities we do, then you know who Jen Atkin is. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, we had so much fun talking to her. You'll get to know a lot. And her new book is out. So let's get into it, starting off with Olivia Jade. I know I keep mentioning holiday season, it's gift giving season, and we're talking about big gifts here, but you don't want to forget about the stocking stuffers. Stocking stuffers are also very important. And if you're looking for the ultimate stocking stuffer for this holiday season, look no further because our sponsors, Manscaped, have the tools to make you win this year's holiday stocking stuffer. Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below the waist grooming, you know what I mean? And hygiene products. And great news, they just released their products across Europe, Canada, and Australia, so you can shop Manscaped. Listen, guys, I'm gonna name a few products for you, okay? And we all know that if you have a boyfriend or if you're a guy listening to this show, then you wanna be well groomed. You wanna be looking out there like a hairy monster animal. Like, we wanna be well groomed. And hey,
it's important.
I actually don't mind a little hair, but we're just saying clean it up.
Clean it nice.
Make it nice. Here are a few of their products that are prime stocking stuffers. They have the Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant. Guys, the name speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. Makes your balls and your dick smell good. We have the Crop Reviver, which is a ball toner. It's a spray-on toner.
We do this ad on Dime Package, too, and I was like, I'm going to say the word balls so many times, guys.
Balls. The crazy thing about this is that I'm making a hand gesture as if I got balls in my hand, and that's what makes this better. Yeah. The ball toner is a spray-on toner that will give your balls a little slice of heaven with their aloe vera and hazel extracts. Who doesn't want their balls smelling nice? And, I mean, ladies, we all know that when you go down on a guy, you would like for him to smell
clean.
Nice. You would like for him to smell clean. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be smelling like McDonald's down there. We also got a body wash. I don't know. I just thought of something that would be like, if you went down and you smelled
that's
McDonald's.
That's definitely not what you want to smell.
That's not a cheeseburger. Yeah, that's your dick. Yep. I don't want that. You know, they have all these things. They have ball wipes, body wash. They have the Weed Whacker, which is for your nose, and it's a nose and ear hair trimmer, which provides proprietary skin-safe technology to get rid of those nasty nose hairs. And let's not forget about the best trimmer for your booty, your balls, and your body. It's the Lawnmower 3.0. It trims, everything, like I said.
Three B's.
Yeah. The three B's, your booty, your balls, and your body. These formulas are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free, so you know their products are legit. You can get 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with code CHICKS. If you don't get this product just for the sake that I said balls so many times, I don't know who you are. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code CHICKS. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. Balls.
Olivia Jade went to the table. She did it. This was a haunting promo. Like, it was the video teaser of this moment was almost better than the actual interview itself. Mm-hmm. Of just seeing the red table and, like, the camera spins and, like, bam, Olivia Jade is sitting in it. It's like, Olivia Jade, she's coming to the table. And she did. Look, this was like her first interview, she said, like, ever. She went to the table.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
I think you and Olivia Jade look alike.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a compliment.
It is very much a compliment. She's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the promos, I was like, damn, that kind of looks like Fran.
Thank you. She did wear a really nice outfit. It was funny. Yeah. Like,
it wasn't the outfit that made me think you looked like her. It was.
I don't wear like hot pink silk pajama sets. So yes, that does make sense. But I have been told that once before, and I was very flattered. So thank you. I will take that.
Yeah, it's a huge compliment.
Yeah, she's very beautiful. And it was funny at the end of the whole thing. Like, it not necessarily a blooper, was more like an outtake where they the whole squad was like, by the way, your outfit is really nice. Like, even Gammy was like, I didn't want to say it during the
because like, Gam was not having Olivia Jade's shit. If we want to sum up what happened on the Red Table Talk, it was that Olivia Jade wants to not necessarily clear her name. She doesn't want people to feel bad for her. She knows that she's not going to get people to pity her.
Yeah.
She just wants a second chance. She doesn't want her life to be ruined. She wants to move on. And Gam Gam does not feel bad for Olivia Jade. She made that quite apparent during this. Jada Pinkett Smith was the one who wanted to have her on. Jada and Gam Gam fought about it. Yep. Gam Gam did not want her. So it was uncomfortable for Olivia Jade, but it should have been, because obviously she fucked up and the family fucked up. And what they did showed an enormous amount of privilege. Yeah. Obviously, people are not that privileged. Not everybody can be like Olivia Jade and Aunt Becky and pay your way through school and pretend you're on the rowing team. That's just not how life works. And to her, that is how life works, because they're rich and famous and they just live a different life than other people do. I think that, number one, don't feel bad for her. Obviously, I don't think you feel bad for her either. No. I don't think anybody really does or should. When it comes to, like, hey, let's give her a second chance, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's completely fair because we live in a day and age where people are not allowed to make mistakes. And I think it's stupid. I think the only way you grow as a person, the only way you learn as a person is if you make a mistake and you fuck up and you can learn from it. If Olivia Jade, if they never got caught, Think about how Olivia Jade would go on with her life.
Yeah.
The same way that they were doing, paying people, whatnot. Now that this has happened and they screwed up, she has a chance to become a better person, learn mm-hmm. more about her privilege, learn about these things, and get a second chance at it. Go back to YouTube. Do yeah. your thing. I think we can acknowledge that they fucked up and it was a very bad thing to do, and we do not feel bad.
Yeah.
But also, I think we can also acknowledge, hey, you know, we're not going to destroy this girl's life for the rest yeah. of time because this happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's and, you know, the way she explained it, too, it was like, I think she was just living her life where she didn't give a shit about anything else mm-hmm. going on in the world. And she kind of acknowledged that. She was like, I'm in this bubble and this is just like what people did. Like, parents donated to schools and that's how they got into schools. And how when the news broke, it was less of her pissed off and more of her confused because she didn't see why that was even a problem in the first place. Because mm-hmm. in her world, where's the problem? That's what happens. That's what people do. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like she has tried to learn a lot and also reflect because it was a good point. She was so silent for so long because of the ongoing legal cases and everything that everyone was like, she doesn't care. She like mm-hmm. what's she's hiding, the whole thing. She hasn't really apologized. So this was her way to apologize. And it was a good setting for her because she did. It wasn't like she went on TV or another interview where it was like a plan, like, hey, let's hold her hand and tell her that it's okay and everything's mm-hmm. going to be okay. Because, you know, there did feel like there was more compassion coming from Jada and Willow than there was Jada's mother, Gam. And she definitely was upfront with her that, like, hey, I just hope you now see what your privilege has given you and how different this story would have been if you and your family were, it was a black family or a family, you know, trying to kind of see the disparities there that maybe she had not thought of at that time. So she was bringing a whole different perspective to it on how her and her life viewed mm-hmm. this situation, and Jada did the same and Willow did the same. So, which is why I think people really want to have their, like, it looked like Olivia Jade's team approached them to have her come mm-hmm. on this setting. And Gammon had said, like, we don't want this girl to come on and have to come to three black women, have us like hold her hand and make yeah. her feel better. That's not our job, to make her feel better about what she did.
Right.
So the whole thing they handled, I thought, very well. Olivia got to say her piece and explain herself a little bit and talk about how she wants to, you know, move on in the future and acknowledge mm-hmm. how all this went down. And everybody voiced their opinion and got to say what they wanted to say to her. And it seemed hopefully therapeutic in a way. And
yeah,
now she can hopefully move on. It's just, She's a young girl who doesn't, she should be able to continue with her life and, you know, what she wants to do with her life without constantly not, like, being blocked from doing it because of this event.
Right. I actually think being reminded of what she did is going to happen forever.
Yeah.
And that's, I think,
well, she's going to live with
it's a
forever.
Good punishment for, yeah. you know what I mean? For me, it's like, all right, we know that's not going to go away. You could say all you want. Oh, you know,
the people footprint
that.
Is there.
It's
like, going to, everything.
It's always going to be there. Yeah. It's all, if she makes a YouTube video, if she posts on Instagram, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
But let her do it. Let her post her YouTube videos. Let her, you know, if you don't want to follow her, don't follow her. If you don't want to be a fan, don't be a fan. But I feel like, like you said, the way they went about it, the perspective that Gam gave yeah. on her end was really good, because I feel like that opens up other people's minds to see what other people may have thought about it. You know what I mean? So I feel like that was good. The way Jada handled it, the way Willow handled it, Willow and her around the same age.
Yeah.
All a good thing. It's not like she went on Ellen and it was a happy-go-lucky interview and they, you know, swept it under the rug. It yeah. was a real deal. And
she deserved to get a little pushback, which is what,
100%
which was why
she deserved
that
pushback.
Was the, a good spot for her
and
to
it
do
will
it.
Help her become a better person by getting that pushback. Yeah. And I do think that, you know, like we said, nobody feels bad for her. Nobody should feel bad for her. Like I said before, we just live in a place where nobody's allowed to make mistakes or do anything wrong. And if you're not allowed to make mistakes and do anything wrong, then you don't grow as a person. Then then you just, if you make a mistake, that's it. Your life stops.
You're
fucking
your
done.
Your hopes and dreams
Your
are
hopes
done.
And dreams, completely crushed. Yeah. That's it. You're done. You're done for. You're not allowed to make a mistake. Everyone has to be perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes in their life. Some may be bigger than others.
Yep.
When you're rich and famous, they probably are bigger than others.
Yep.
And I do think that her mentioning the fact that she didn't see what was wrong with it at first was kind of a big move by her, because anybody could have gone up there and say, immediately when it all came crashing down, I knew that we had fucked up. She said straight up, I didn't see what was wrong. And a lot of people, I think, are picking that apart, being like, what the fuck is wrong? How could you not see what was wrong? How could you not see what was wrong? She said straight up, I didn't, but now I do. I lived in a bubble. That's the best thing that you can ask for her. You can't ask for anything more than like her being like, yeah, I am fucking rich and
just
and
around
privileged
a bunch
and,
of other rich
and
white kids
I didn't
who
know
did the
anything
exact
else,
same
thing. And this is how I grew up. Yeah. A lot of it has to be blamed on the parents.
Yeah,
straight up, you raised your kids that way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
If they're being raised this certain way, and they're never around anything else, and you never tell them, hey. Other people out there don't get this. Other people aren't. Hey, just a reminder, we're very lucky. We're very privileged.
Yeah.
Then they're going to grow up thinking that everything they do is fine and normal.
Yeah.
So it is what it is at this point, I think. The college admission scandal, I think it's just got to, we all got to stop talking about it. Aunt Becky's in jail.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is what it is at this point. And yes, it is it sucks. I just want to remind everyone, we're not saying what they did. Because I feel like we talked about it on the group chat, and I saw messages from people being like, you guys said that, you know, you feel bad for her. We never said we feel bad for her. That is not what I'm saying whatsoever. No. I don't feel bad at all. I'm just saying people are allowed to, like, come back and not have their life entirely ruined in a situation like this. You know, she didn't murder somebody.
Yeah. And if you just, if it bothers you that much, then, you know, avoid everything she does. Like, it's, you know, don't pay attention and let her, I don't know, continue with her life in some way. And I guess people do think she should be punished in a way that, like, that YouTube career and all the things that she wanted, she shouldn't be allowed to have now. But she does seem like she learned from this experience, and now she definitely got a lot of help with this interview. I will say that, like, there's no way
point that out.
Yeah, there's no way that you go into your first interview, it's Red Table Talk, you got Jada Pinkett Smith, you got these powerful women in front of you, that you don't have some publicist or hired someone to help her with what she said and whatnot. So hopefully she really means everything that she said and is looking forward to being a positive influence and taking what she has learned from this and using it publicly in the future.
Right. And if she does get YouTube deals or whatever it may be, take some of that money, help some other people out in a way that they couldn't be helped out.
Right.
You know what I mean? You were helped by your parents getting to school.
Right. Use
a lot
the
of people can't pay
and
for school.
Yeah,
use that. And
use it to benefit others.
Yeah, use it to benefit people, because then people will be like, okay, she does understand what she did wrong. She wants to help people now. She has to do something to that effect, I think, in the future. Because she can't just go and start making vlogs and makeup tutorials again.
Yeah.
There has to be some
right.
steps
the content has to show that she has learned something.
Exactly. And not all the time. She should make fun videos or whatever. But show
Doesn't
people...
Doesn't have to be serious all the time.
Show people that you care and that wasn't like a performative act by going on Red Table Talk.
Definitely.
Thank you. It has been announced that Jessica Simpson will be creating a TV show about her life in her early 20s.
I'm so excited about this. I know that I yawned into the microphone.
I was like, you're
as
excited,
I spoke
huh?
those words. But there's must be a lack of oxygen in this room. And you know, I really actually am very excited about this. When I saw this, I like messaged the link to like six different people, sent it to different group chats and you guys, and I was like, I'm so fucking excited for this because Open Book, her memoir, was one of my favorite things that I've read this year. So to now watch that be turned into a scripted series is awesome because it gives it even more drama. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's not like they're doing a documentary about her where they're trying to, like, really stick to the story. Like, they can take Jessica Simpson's mid-20s, which were dramatic AF, and make them even more dramatic as a whole scripted deal. So it's awesome. And happy for Jessica. So I feel like she's just racking in the dough also. Like, this is a big deal, great deal for her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to watch this whenever it comes out. I'm excited to see who will play Jessica Simpson. I mean, who's going to play Jessica Simpson
Iconic. In
her fucking prime?
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody who looks exactly like Jessica Simpson. Because Jessica Simpson, my God, like, holy shit, one of the hottest girls to ever exist.
Yeah.
Also, Nick Lachey, John Mayer. We're going to be getting a lot of juicy stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to just watch it as a TV show. Like, her life is so good that it could be made into a TV show.
Yeah.
That's just...
You know who I actually...
Maybe not the dream, but also the dream.
Yes. Very true. I feel like... I don't know. It's so hard because I'm trying to think of who would be so great to play them. And I almost think they have to go with people that we don't know. You know, maybe not like huge, big name people. But I almost think like a Josh Bassett. Like a Joshua Bassett would be so good as like a Nick Lachey, but I think he's too young. He's too young. I think they would be like much, appear older, mid-20s-ish.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they have to go unknowns here because.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you get somebody that we've seen before many times and then they start playing these iconic people, it's going to get confusing. I think that they'll be able to find unknown actors because there are so many talented people on this earth that don't ever get picked up for anything. Yeah. They're out there. They'll find somebody who looks like Jessica Simpson. They'll find a guitar player to play John Mayer. They'll find a Nick Lachey. But I think that it has to be unknowns or people that haven't been in anything that is too known.
Yeah. Now, there's actually going to be two things. Wow. Okay, so there is the scripted series and then also an unscripted docuseries. That's fantastic. Because Jessica Simpson posted on her Instagram and said, I am humbled and honored to partner with Amazon Studios to bring my story and heart to life on the screen and executive produce a fictionalized coming-of-age series about my mid-20s, a new intimate, unscripted docuseries with music as a key component and two essays where I will share my soul and perspective while holding your heart close to mine. I'm a huge TV fan and many of my favorite shows live on Amazon, so the gift of this unprecedented collaboration is the brightest visible dream for me. From our first meeting, I had a visceral connection to every member of this team. I know that parts of my life have been extraordinary, but I also know that many of my struggles are universal. I hope to continue the mission I set out to accomplish in writing Open Book, to inspire others to be entertained, moved, and empowered to walk through fear and come out on the other side even stronger. And then Amazon Studios said that Simpson's raw, unscripted docuseries will feature, quote, never-before-seen personal footage shot over the last decade and will explore the highs and lows of Simpson's life, including her singing career, her journey to sobriety, starting a family, the rise of creating a billion-dollar business, and finding her voice. The fictionalized drama series takes place after Simpson's divorce from Lachey and will be about the journey to discovering herself. Music will be a key component of both the scripted and unscripted series. As for the essays, the first will focus on motherhood and the second will focus on gratitude. This is a huge deal for her, like covering all aspects of her life.
Absolutely. And I'm very interested, and I feel like everyone will be. Jessica Simpson has lived quite the life. She's been in the tabloids and the media ever since I've been born, it feels like. So I'm very interested in this. And also good for her. Like you said, major fucking deal. A lot of money coming through here. You know, she's got her brand and other things. But this is really cool for Jessica Simpson. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's major. And to think that, like, music to be involved in this will be really cool, too, because I'm thinking that whoever they get to play, like, the scripted version of Jessica Simpson could be then put on the path to be Jessica, like a real life Jessica Simpson. You know what I mean? You get like,
absolutely.
Like, she gets this part where she's playing Jessica Simpson and gets to perform and sing, and then that could catapult her career to a level of like Jessica Simpson. So it's very cool. We'll see who they cast and what they make out of this, but great stuff.
Right. A lot of times, and I don't think this will happen with Jessica Simpson because she is Jessica Simpson, but when you see somebody play somebody so famous or whatever it is, you then become obsessed with that person as the person they play.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking this is so wildly not even in the same range, but The Dirt, Motley Crue.
I knew you were going to say that. I wish I said it before you said it because I knew you were going to say that.
The guy who plays Nikki Sixx, obsessed with him as Nikki Sixx in the movie. I'm like, he's so fucking hot and I love him. But Nikki Sixx in real life, I'm not like, oh my God, Nikki Sixx.
Yes.
But I'm like, Nikki Sixx in The Dirt, please give him to me.
Yes.
So I feel like sometimes that happens. But with Jessica Simpson, I don't know. You know, we'll get both. But I do understand what you're saying in the aspect of this person may become so big that they'll be like Jessica Simpson.
Exactly. Jessica Simpson this year was, you know, getting this deal is so amazing for her. She
Douglas Booth is his name, by the way. Douglas I didn't Booth, mention yes. who played him.
You know, Doug, what my favorite role that Douglas Booth has performed in?
Enlighten me.
LOL, the Miley Cyrus and Demi Moore movie.
I knew you were going to say that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Just great stuff. Great stuff.
Great stuff. But he's way hotter in The Dirt.
Yeah.
Which is fair That's enough. Fair. He plays a rock star.
That's fair. He's pretty hot in
yeah, LOL. No. Great looking guy.
I gotta watch that movie too. Okay. okay. Oh, the last thing I wanted to say was that Jessica Simpson, like, I just feel like whatever Jessica Simpson touches also turns to gold.
Mm-hmm.
That this is such a great deal and hopefully turns out to be so great. She is now the highest selling female pop culture celebrity author of all time. With her memoir, Open Book. I know that was like a lot of titles. Female pop culture celebrity author.
That was a lot of titles and entirely too specific to be like a huge category, no?
Yeah, but like, I don't really think it's one of those things that's
like, yeah, it's like
I feel like just the best female celebrity author. But
yeah.
I get what you're saying. Female celebrity that's not maybe female, like politician can maybe fall under celebrity category. So I get the clarifications, but that, you know, she's, like I said, turns to gold. So this, can't wait. I hope they start like now. Clock's ticking.
Let's get filming. Let's start casting. We need the, you guys need us in the department?
Yeah,
because we'll do it.
A couple casting directors?
We got you.
We're available.
Went on the Ellen show and Ellen did a little interview and Ellen asked some questions that went a little too far for our liking.
Yeah.
Because she asked who the best kisser was and it was like a toss up between, first of all, Blake Moynes.
She said four names.
Yeah, she said four names. Blake Moynes was thrown into there.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's the credit we're giving Blake Moynes.
Explains,
why he's there.
Yeah.
And then she asked, who's husband material?
Yeah.
Who out of these men that are left, there's seven guys that are there, who's husband material? Tayshia says Zach C.
Yeah.
What are we doing watching the rest of the show then? Because you don't get up there and say Zach C's husband material and then not get engaged to Zach C. What are you going to get engaged to another guy? And then they're going to watch the Ellen show and say, hey, you didn't say I was husband material.
There is a possibility that, I don't know. There is a possibility that it's not. Yes, it is possible because Zach may be the. I'm really going to dig into some semantics here, but like he may be the most husband material, but maybe not the most husband material for Tayshia. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we both have boyfriends. There are guys out there that I would be like, oh, he's boyfriend material.
Where are you
material.
Going with this?
No, like, I'm saying he's boyfriend material.
Okay.
So I necessarily want to date him? No. But he falls in the category of boyfriend material.
I just think that you don't say, when it comes to the Bachelor and Bachelorette,
like,
I think that
like, you think, say you can't.
Do you think Riley would be like, okay with that if they're
no, you,
together.
No, definitely
you
not
see,
Riley.
Yeah. You at this stage, you are asked that question and you do not answer that one.
No,
that's
you say, oh, all the guys are so great.
Yeah.
You know, they all could be husband material.
Right. Or you throw more names out there like she did with Best Kisser.
You know, Zach C, Ben Riley,
all
of them. All of them are husband material. They're great guys. Easy way to get out of that one.
Yeah.
I personally think she's so smitten with Zach C that she couldn't even hold it in any longer.
The answer came to her immediately.
She forgot she was on the Ellen show and was like, Zach C is my husband.
Right. I mean, the Ellen show's out here tweeting like, did Tayshia just spoil the Bachelorette? Like, just, they're
Ellen's
thriving off of this.
The Ellen show isn't live, is it?
No.
Like, so there had to be Bachelor producers who like let that air. Like, they could have been like, no, don't put that in.
That is true, but also, do you think Ellen is listening to that?
No,
like, Ellen gets that soundbite and she's like, that's going in.
And they probably told her beforehand, like, don't ask questions that would give stuff away. And she's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we listen to people like that, not Ellen. Yeah. when somebody tells us to cut something out, we cut it out. When Ellen gets told to cut something out, she's like, this is perfect for my show. I'm airing it. So I think that that was the case here. I get what you're trying to say, Fran, with the whole, you know, boyfriend.
I'm just trying to spin it where it, because this seems so obvious.
If you were giving me Hank with a bunch of people and asked who would be boyfriend material, I would say Hank, you know?
Right.
Her husband is in that group.
Right.
So you don't pick the person that's not your husband.
It was very quick response as well. Yeah. Like, it didn't even really look like she thought about it for that long. So
I think that she's just smitten and is over it and is like, I'm in love and I want this to be seen and I want people to know at this point. But also, I wish that wouldn't have happened. Because I now feel pretty confident that Zach C is going
to
win.
To be honest, I felt confident in that already.
We felt that.
Yes. But I feel like we all kind of did.
But there's always that possibility that, we thought many times. We didn't think, when it came to Hannah Ann and Peter, we were there is no way Peter actually proposes to Hannah Ann.
Right.
And he did that.
And
so it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Correct.
And with Hannah Brown, we were like, oh my God, she picked Jed.
Yeah.
It's like, you knew it. I knew it because of the basketball shot throwback.
Jed over Tyler C was just
it's still one of the most
decisions of all time.
It's one of the most mind-boggling things ever. We're not going to get into it though. We're going to move right past that.
But we have to make like a docu-series about that decision.
No, we don't.
What if I told you?
Yeah.
What if I told you?
This man was rejected.
So look. You're right. I do think that this show has magical powers, and we will all be watching the fantasy dates on, next week. Not this week, but in 2 weeks.
Sorry
or
if you're watching the YouTube. My bra keeps popping out of my shirt.
Action. No, you're good.
I'm a whore.
I would have told you if it was a problem.
Okay, thank you.
And it was just tasteful enough. And
oh, you were enjoying it. Yeah. Good.
And
it was for you.
Yep,
go to the YouTube.
Yep. And what was I going to say? Oh. This show has magical powers where when we are watching these fantasy dates, our brains are going to be like, oh, maybe she does pick someone else. Like, they always get us at the end where you really think there's a possibility that she will not pick Zach C because he does seem like the front runner right now. But who knows?
Also, she did shed light on Spencer.
Yeah, Spencer, she said she had the most awkward. Ellen asked who she had the most awkward conversation with, it wasn't even who she had the most awkward conversation. It was like, what was the most awkward conversation, whatever. And she was just like, Spencer. No explanation, no nothing. She just said Spencer. So maybe we didn't watch that happen, but that does explain why we never saw Spencer again.
It totally makes sense. And that's like our French Montana.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
It's like, who's the worst in French Montana? Yep. She just knew. It's Spencer. One of those things. It must have been so awkward. It was engraved in her memory.
Yeah,
so awkward they didn't air it. That's how really, you know it was bad.
I wonder if she had questioned her judgment at all after that, you know? Because she's been so serious about, like, the guys questioning her integrity and all mm-hmm. that. And her first impression was Spencer. Like, this guy.
I think it was solely based off looks.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. And I also quickly want to mention that Reality Steve had Tayshia's ex-husband on his podcast, and he obviously paints a different picture of their relationship than what Tayshia has painted on television, and that they were having very rough times before he had cheated. And
doesn't matter.
He didn't feel like she was giving enough to that relationship, and then he cheated and came home and told her, and they tried to work on it. It just didn't end up working. It just wasn't there. So there's always two sides to the story. You're not going to get, like, I just can't imagine you would get Tayshia on TV to be like, yeah, it's my fault I got divorced. And for this guy to go on and be like, yeah, it's my fault. Like, they're both going to blame each other.
You know who I call, what I call people who are in a relationship and the relationship gets tough and then they go and cheat?
Yeah.
Cowards.
Yeah.
Just break up with them.
Yeah.
Just divorce.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, it's over.
Yeah.
This isn't working. I hate when people do that. You know? When the going gets tough and you're like, I'm not getting any action. We're fighting. Nothing's going well.
Yeah.
Call it quits before you cheat.
This guy is clearly annoyed
but
enough.
Alas, we have millions mm-hmm. of affairs everywhere.
Yeah.
Because people are cowards.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, I guess he felt the need to do this interview for the sake of Tayshia repeating that, you know, marriage ended because of cheating or this really, like, that seemed, and that's what we all thought, that seemed like that was a really big thing. And he wanted to clear his name or the air or whatever because he says it affects his family and his girlfriend now and mm-hmm. to have all these that have that picture painted of him. And that's definitely true. But I feel like Tayshia also has tried not to talk about him
mm-hmm.
that much on the show, where she has given like the least amount possible that flies to be like, where she does have to mention that their cheating occurred. And when that happens in your marriage, like, that's obviously, she's going to hold on to that. So yeah, maybe she's not explaining the whole story on TV, but she didn't really want that in the first place. She didn't really want him. She has said before she didn't really want him to be like a storyline in all this. This is her new life. This is a new love story for her. So can't imagine she was happy with him going on this podcast.
Can't imagine that, and I can't imagine where we got his name popping up into a trailer. I still don't understand why this happened. It doesn't seem at this point that it's even happening.
No,
that was Did ABC just do that to fuck with everybody? Because it was weird.
So weird that her ex-husband's name just ended up in the caption by accident.
Like,
how does that happen?
That's not an accident. We can't call that an accident. Yeah. That was
on purpose.
On purpose.
Just to send us all chasing our tails.
Yep.
All right, well, do you have anything else? I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about it.
No, I don't. Yeah. People are still going on Ellen. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, she's the be kind lady. She's kind. She's letting people on her show. And Tayshia basically just gave us the answer, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to be shocked. Let me be wrong.
Yeah.
Let us be wrong.
Shocked. Well, I don't want to be shocked because I want sexy women. But
yeah. Knock our socks off.
But it
with
would
the
be
answer.
Very shocking at this point, I think.
Right.
But we'll see what happens.
Hey, if we get some love, then we all win, don't we?
So true. Have our interview with the wonderful Jen Atkin coming up. And guys, this woman is constantly moving. She is a high power businesswoman, and I hope that when she gets a moment to relax and chill, she's cracking open a Coors Light, because that's the beer that we choose when we need a moment of chill. We are talking all the time on this podcast. We're recording on Thursday afternoon, and it's the perfect time when we finish to just head out of here. Grab a Coors Light. Sit. Relax. Enjoy it. It's the only beer out there that's literally made to chill. They got new packaging right now, which is very exciting. The new design features clear skies that invite you to sit back, unwind, and drink it all in. As always, the iconic Coors Light mountains still turn blue when your beer is as cold as the Rockies. It's a brand new look for the same ice cold refreshment. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the official beer of Chicks in the Office. We love it. It's our go-to beer when we finish recording and it's time to relax. And it should be your go-to beer when you're listening to this show. If you're taking some time to yourself, you got your, you know, you're listening, you're hanging out, you just want to chill, drink a Coors Light. Or maybe you're watching your favorite TV show, drink a Coors Light. That's why Coors Light is the one we choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill, get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. And always remember to celebrate responsibly. This is coming from the Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado.
We are here with a very special guest, Jen Atkin, celebrity hairstylist, a new book out called Blowing My Way to the Top. Absolutely genius title, by the way. There it is. You could see the cover. Looks so damn good.
Gorgeous.
Yes. And we are so, so excited to talk to you, Jen, because right before this, you looked at both of us and said, "Why does your hair look so good?" And
amazing,
I said
compliment.
To you, yeah, amazing compliment, by the way. Thank you. It really boosted my self-esteem. And I'm not shitting you. I use all your products. I live and die by Way. I'm not joking you. I thought that maybe you probably thought that I was just saying it to like make you feel good because you're the guest on the show.
Butter you up.
You can ask Fran, like I carry these products with me. Like I use the wave spray, the air dry foam, the leave-in conditioner, and also your body cream. Like I really live and die by these products.
You're like weighed out head to toe. I love it.
Absolutely. I'm obsessed. But thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun. And I meant every word I said. You both have gorgeous hair. And I'm so excited to be finally talking about this. I do want people to know that for people that can't see the book, there is a blow dryer in my hand and thus blowing my way to the top.
Yep.
I just want to preface
that. Yeah. Not a penis. No. It's a blow dryer.
HarperCollins said no. So we have a blow dryer.
Jen Atkin is not a porn star. She's a hairstylist.
By the way, I've actually Googled the book a couple of times and seen like which category it's fallen into at some retailers. And I'm like, oh no, they think this might be an old porn story.
Erotica.
I know. So
well,
crazy.
The name is fantastic. I know as soon as we had booked this interview and I was looking, I was like, oh my God, that's such a great name because it's catchy and it grabs your attention. But obviously it makes sense. You are a hairstylist and this is how you have made your career. And now you wrote this book. And I will say, you know, on the cover, it says how to break the rules, find your purpose and create the life and career you deserve, which sounds amazing. I like sign me up. I feel like everybody should read this book just from that.
Yeah. And by the way, it really just came down to like, this was the book that I wish existed when I was in my early 20s and just moved to LA and didn't know anybody and got, you know, I've had like some hits and misses through the years. And I feel like I'm at a place now where I want to just share that story, but also, you know, encourage people to take risks. And it's so fun. I want to just help everyone kind of skip the line.
Yeah, it's going to be great to read because I think a lot of people recognize you for your work and the things you have done and the people you have worked with. So getting to read your story and how you made your career is so exciting. Can you give everyone a little background on kind of how you found yourself in LA and how you even like started doing hair?
Yeah. So for those who don't know me, I work with celebrities and some of the like most beautiful faces and people in the world and have done so for a while. And I think like that's what kind of catapulted me into my social media success is because my clients have been so amazing and have really kind of like helped shine a light on me through the years. But I wanted to really go back to like the girl that worked at Little Caesars and was like making crazy bread. Because I, you know, my story really in a nutshell is like, I grew up in a Mormon community. My family's all Mormon, still practicing. My best friend and I like wanted to Romy and Michelle it up. And like, it was like Britney Spears crossroads. And we just packed our Honda Civics, like dumped our high school boyfriends and decided to just like pursue this unknown world in LA and never looked back. And she lives within 5 minutes of my house to this day, 28 years later.
That's amazing.
We've been friends since we were 12. And, you know, I want to really just like share that story to help people understand that, you know, it's when you take those leaps and those scary, scary risks, that's when you like get the great reward on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really cool story. And especially hearing that you are still friends with that person you moved with, because, you know, some people, when they gain that little social media success, they may drop some people or whatever it may be, but that's really cool to hear. Did you move to LA like knowing you wanted to be a hairstylist, or was it you moved to LA and you're like, all right, what can I do here?
I knew like as a kid, I was not interested in the Bible, and I like cared more about like posters on my wall and pop culture. And I was always just obsessed with makeover scenes in movies. Like that's all I cared about, was like True Beverly Hills and Mannequin and She's All That. And like, I just loved, oh my God, Can't Wait. What's the one? Can't Buy Me Love is so good. And is it She's All That?
She's All That is, yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr. And yes.
So like, I've always just been obsessed with like that concept of like making someone over. And I have sleepovers in high school where we'd like pick like the quiet wallflower girl and invite her over and give her a full makeover, like glam session. But yeah, I did not know it could be a career until I moved to LA and started working in a salon and kind of seeing like the ins and outs of it while I was feeding Bette Midler's meter. It was crazy. So crazy. But yeah, I always loved beauty.
Yeah.
Who was the person that connected you to every other celebrity that you now have worked with? How did you get into that space?
I mean, honestly, I think it was just kind of like paying my dues. I write about it in the book because I really, you know, want to like kind of teach people the way to navigate not only like your creativity, if you want to like work in hair or be an artist or whatever it is, but also managing like the business aspect of it. So I mean, the gist of it, you guys need to get the book because I go into more detail, but it's just all about not being an asshole, you know, and just working hard and then like, keeping your chin up and not fucking people over and just, you know, keeping your eye on the prize, but also like taking care of yourself along the way. So, I feel like all of those things kind of, and even like my Mormon upbringing kind of helped me to get to where I am. Obviously, pre-Instagram was when I started in the salon. It's when you like hoped that like a good publicist would come in and sit in your chair for a blowout. And that happened. And it's one of my best friends to this day. Her name's Amanda Silverman. Shout out to her company called Lead, because they're doing PR for my book, which is like full circle. And she kind of helped to introduce me to her colleagues, which got me Sofia Vergara as one of my first celebrity clients, right when Modern Family came out. And then it was like Hayden Panettiere. I was doing extensions for Britney Spears and then Nicole Richie, who I still like am friends with and love. And then from there, like I met Lorraine Schwartz, who is this incredible jeweler and so well connected and takes care of people around her. And I was just blowing her hair out. She introduced me to Kim Kardashian actually for the first time ever at an Oscar party. And yeah, the rest is history. It's really just about like staying in one place and networking and not being an asshole.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's such a great story. And not being an asshole is such great advice to so many people, because I think people view Hollywood sometimes as just this crazy dog eat dog world, and that everybody is just trying to jump over each other. And if you kind of treat other people with respect, good things come back to you. And it kind of seems like you have climbed that ladder and the success has come for you. And it's just really, really cool. And I feel like with working with all these celebrities, is there like, do people kind of expect you to know how, like, I'm trying to word this the right way, where
who's my favorite client?
No,
you know, I was going to ask that.
I was going to ask more of like, do people assume that you have to put up with asshole celebrities?
You know, they exist for sure. Yeah. And I have to say, I did not write about this in the book because I definitely respect NDAs, but yes. in my time have definitely, I've only encountered like two or three, but they do exist, you know? And like now in hindsight, I can see that like that person is going through their own thing and it probably hurt. And maybe not everyone is cut out for celebrity. I will say that. So I've been very fortunate that through my time, I've been able to kind of earn the ability to pick and choose who I work with. And that feels really good. But yeah, it's like anything. You got to kiss a lot of frogs to meet the prince. And I think that I've kind of done that throughout the years. But I don't have a ton of crazy horror stories. Like I have heard from other stylists in salons, like the older starlet that came in and threw a brush at someone because she didn't like her blow dry. You know, like there's been, or somebody canceled on someone and you just see people who like they go nuts. You know, I've heard stories, but I haven't had like a ton of horror stories, thank God. Knock on wood.
That's good.
Yeah. Right. And I feel like you have to be like a trustworthy person to get into the position that you are in. You know what I mean? You're around a lot of high profile people that I feel like they don't let a lot of people into their circle that they don't trust.
Yeah. And that's another thing I really offer a lot of advice on. I mean, I don't know if the amount of people reading my book want to be celebrity stylists, but I think that's one thing that has helped me also is like, I've always treated my clients like human beings. And I for sure have had my like geek out moments. I think like working with Gwen Stefani and doing her for the cover of Vogue, I like had her poster on my wall in high school. And those are moments where I'm like, how is this my life? Like I literally like my hands shaking as I'm driving to set. Like those are my like Devil Wears Prada moment. But I think that like overall, I just have always kind of just treated my clients as human beings because they are. And I get so mad when in the past I've seen people who haven't respected them in the same way or feel like they're there to just get like shine from them or they just, you know, don't like respect them as they would any friend of theirs and abuse that relationship. And so I really have like, I've just learned through the years that, you know, you put good out, you'll get good back.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's, you still have that hairstyle, you know, that hairstylist relationship when you, us, you know, normal people go get our hair done and we sit in that chair and all of a sudden you're like talking about things in your life that you wouldn't tell anyone, but you're telling the woman who's doing your hair. And you trust her. You trust her to do your hair. You trust her to listen to you and to kind of like be your soundboard for a lot of things where you kind of have that relationship. So
I feel like that plays for this.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that plays even at the celebrity level where you gotta trust that person. Cause that's a time and it's probably a good vent sesh. You get glam done for so long. I feel like with some of these celebrities, they got to sit in that chair for a long time. They got to talk about something.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I opened the book up with like kind of giving a figure of how many hours I've spent talking to women in my chair and how many people. And I'm like, where's my therapist license? Because it really is such a personal relationship. And I've been on the flip side of it. Like the minute I go and sit in someone's chair, I'm like spilling my guts and it feels like a therapeutic moment. But with that comes responsibility. So I think, you know, and I actually have read so many books that like talk about the scientific, like if you're talking shit to somebody, they associate you with whatever story you're telling. So it actually is like a negative reaction to you and your reputation. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's just, you know, loose lips do sink ships.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Do you find it hard to find the time to do everybody's hair? Like, are there ever times where, you know, Bella Hadid needs her hair done, but Hailey Bieber also needs her hair done, and you need to decide between the two, whose hair am I going to do?
I think, like, the busiest hectic days would be, like, Met Ball days, you know, but I'm really fortunate that like I've had a great team around me that my clients like work with, you know, when I'm not available and trust them. And so it's like a whole system. We'll have like one assistant will be with one girl and then I jump and everyone's like set up and ready. So by this point in my career, I have it really set up, and we like try to keep, because no one wants to feel like you're rushing through them, you know? So mm-hmm. you really do have to like keep your shit together and keep your cool. But I haven't, those are like the hectic days, but usually it all works out, you know? Like I've had agents in the past, they're like, what are we going to do? So-and-so wants this time. And I have learned through the years, it always works out. And I, you know, I feel like we've had a few hiccups here and there, but nothing that's like, I haven't had any blow dryers or brushes thrown at me. So
yeah,
that's okay. Thank God.
That's definitely a good thing. And you have gone, you know, you've created this mega success with this company, with your whey products, with these products that everybody loves that are so great. What, and I'm sure you talk about it in the book, but what are, like, what were you worried about when you started that line, and how, like, were you surprised when it kind of blew up in the way that it did?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, I actually just posted about this on stories the other day, because it was 2015. We were at Fashion Week and I was there with, I think, Kylie and Kim. And I remember sitting down with New York Times. I kind of don't remember it, but like they wanted to interview me and I was like, okay, cool. So I squoze it in one of my days. And then like I started getting the total like fear before we launched of February 2016. Like it was around December, I think. And I was like, what if this doesn't work? Like my mind has been set that like I know what's missing in the marketplace. I've done my due diligence. I've worked for other brands. I understand the disconnect. I understand no one's talking to their audience or their customer like a friend. It's always like talking down to women, making you feel bad about how you look, all of it. And I was like, I just, in my gut, I want this to work so badly. But of course I was freaking out. Then the New York Times thing comes out and calls me the most influential hairstylist in the world. I was like, oh my God, now I feel so much fear that like eyes are on me. And I'm like, oh my God, this has to work. I pray to God. And you know, I feel like I just, it, you kind of go through waves. I was like doubting myself and I'd be like, no, I got this. And I doubt myself. And February 3rd, 2016 is when we launched. And I remember just like, literally, I was at work, but I remember like taking breaks and going on my phone because it was like Instagram was blowing up. And I just remember taking moments to just cry and sob and like write tear filled, like, oh my God, thank you so much for posting, you know, because like the people who posted get paid a lot of money to post about stuff. And at the time, Instagram wasn't like the shopping mall that it is now, you know? Yeah. So like to really like post about a product that you love in 2016, it really meant that like you believed in it or you like really were supporting that person. So yeah, it was a whirlwind day for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, I was influenced by that because I went and bought a bunch of the products. I remember watching, I can't remember exactly who it was, but somebody's hair tutorial on YouTube, and they were, you know, using a bunch of products, but they were like, I use the whey wave spray and their waves came out so good. And I have like a natural wave to my hair, but I've never really used a I would just like put in a braid, put some hairspray on it, let it loose or whatever. But I had never used a product to actually just like spray in my hair, let it dry, put in a towel, whatever it is. And I got the wave spray and I've been obsessed with it ever since. I use the leave-in conditioner. I like I said, I use it all. And the products are really, really amazing. I've tried a lot of hair products, you know, leave-in conditioners. I've gone through my fair share of those. And your products are just really, really quality, I have to say.
Thank you. Honestly, Wave Spray is one of our first products we launched with. Still a hero product to this day. It's insane. And I was so like over having products that had a lot of alcohol that would dry your hair or like make it feel sticky or look weird. Mm-hmm. And Wave Spray, even if you're just doing a blowout, like you don't even have to have like waves. You can like spray it in and do a blowout and you'll just see so much volume. It's like one of my faves. It's so good. And by the way, you're being really calm about your waves. Your waves are like perfect waves.
Oh, thank you. Well, that with the help of you. So there you go.
Yeah. Rhea has had to go through some convincing with the natural waves sometimes, because she's always like, does it look messy? Like I should blow dry her hair, get it blown. I'm like, you don't. Because you never appreciate the hair that's on your own head, right? You look at everybody else's hair.
No one does. Guys, it starts young too. Like every woman that's ever sat in my chair, if she has curly hair, she wants straight hair. If she has straight hair, she wishes it was curly. If it's thin, she wants thick. If it's too thick, she wishes it was thinner. Like, we're crazy beings.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like, I had to tell Rhea, like, hey, your natural hair is so beautiful. At the wave, like, people pay a lot of money for waves like that. Like, just leave it.
Yeah. My boyfriend says to me all the time, like, this is his favorite way that I wear my hair. And every time, like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do, he's like, but what? It just looks so good like that. He's like, I love your curly hair. And I had somebody blowing my hair out the other day that was like, have you ever tried like doing waves to your hair? I feel like that would look good. And I was like, oh, why am I even here, lady? Like, let me just get out of the chair then.
You're like, I've got it down already. That's so funny.
Yeah, exactly. Now, how much has your team grown since the company has started? Because, I mean, you've seen major pickup, right?
I honestly have like stats locked and loaded. We have, you know, since I want to say, we moved into like our flagship January 2020, like our Way HQ that is so gorgeous, designed by Maison Trouvailler, the incredible interior designers. And we have like a studio. It's so great. And then lockdown happened. So we haven't been able to go in there. But we have, I think, about 40, I want to say 43. Yeah, it's grown a lot. And but with that, like I always tell the team this too, like, I always just want to create a work environment, because I've never been in like an office environment until now. And I always want to just, I'm always asking like, what did you hate about your last job? Like, you know, I want to just always make it feel like a interactive, fun environment where like, you know, people are excited to be there. Everyone feels like their voices are heard, and it's just like good music in the background, kombucha on tap. You know, like I want it to really be like a fun company to work for. We just did a group company Zoom where we learned how to do charcuterie boards. And it was maybe the best day of my life.
It's a fun. Amazing skill, because who doesn't love a good charcuterie board?
Oh, by the way, there's like a whole like art to it. Like I learned about meat rivers. Like there's just, it's a lot. But the team has grown. It's grown a lot. And I always want to keep that like grassroots feeling. You know what I mean? Like I don't ever want to feel like, because everything I wanted the brand to be on paper was everything that other brands were not, because they were so corporate. And majority, when I did all the research, was like owned by like white older men. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just felt like a huge responsibility to like keep the coolness.
I think that sometimes, you know, I don't know too much about it, but the beauty world and these companies, you don't realize that so many of them are owned by the same parent companies, and like it all gets, that's where it all does get very corporate. So to have your own thing, your own kind of boss woman situation is really, really cool, which is why I think everybody should also read your book, because I feel like we're gonna learn a lot of tips on how to, you know, be a great boss lady.
I just wanted to give, like, again, like I said, really great advice on how to run your own business if you're a freelance person, how to hire and nurture, how to hire and nurture women, because that was really important for me. You know, I think just like finding a mentor too, like what that looks like. Because it doesn't have to be somebody that you know. You know, it can be somebody who like, I hope that wasn't me, sorry.
No.
I just wanted to really like give the power to like navigate through your work and life and the obstacles that come with both.
Absolutely. Do you think that you'll open a salon, not that you'll work at, but just one that you hire a team for?
So weird you say that. We have a ton of really exciting stuff happening over at Mainatics. And like, I would have said no, but I just in the past week, like I went to my friend's salon last night and cut a couple of friends. And I was like, I kind of miss this. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the goal when you're in a salon is like, I want to be an editorial stylist. I want to do backstage. And I did those things. And then it was like, I want to be a celebrity stylist. And I did those things. And we'll see. I don't know. I really do love like nurturing younger talent. So maybe that could be a spot where I do that. So right. I don't know. We'll see.
You can call it The Way and then just have all your products in there.
There you go. I call it United Hairlines.
Yeah. I love that. That's great.
All the planes I've gone on.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm sure so many cool opportunities. I would love to watch, like, you know, there's all these beauty reality shows and fashion shows and competition shows. Like, I would love one that was about hair. Like, I feel like that would be perfect for you.
Well, I have a show for you, by the way. There's a show on HBO Max called Hot Dog, and it's all about dog grooming competition.
Oh,
so good.
Now that is right up Fran's alley. Yes.
Oh, it's got like Jess Rona, who is like a celebrity dog groomer. She's so like amazing. It's such a fun show.
Oh, amazing. I'm going to have to check that out because forget people. I'd rather watch it for dogs. So that's great.
By the way, that is my dream come true too. Like if I were to open salons, for sure, you come in, your dog can also come in because we've got a grooming station next door. Boom.
That's genius. Absolutely genius idea. Jen, I also just saw pictures in Architectural Digest of your house. And I got to say, absolutely phenomenal. So, so gorgeous. Like just kind of obsessed with everything in it. How long and like what was the process of kind of getting your house together?
Oh my God. Well, it's been a year and a half probably since we moved in. This is like our adult house, and I kind of feel like I always want to give that disclaimer because I don't want people to think I'm like showing off. My husband and I have worked our asses off for like 10 years to be able to like buy furniture that we like, and we've, you know, done like sponsored things in the past, but this was, we were like, okay, we're in our late 30s. Okay, fine. I'm 40 right now. But I was like, we need to like hunker down and actually like make the home that we really, really like have dreamed of. And he's so good. I can't take credit, guys. I honestly go to work and I live here. Like my husband and Eric from Maison Trouvaille have such a great eye, but I got to tell you, I didn't realize what a big deal AD is. Like I had more people reach out than like anything ever. Like everyone was so psyched about that. And they put like 4 pictures of ours on their grid, which they don't do that often. And I was like so happy for my husband. This is like honestly his dream come true.
Yeah. I mean, as far as design goes, that I think that is like the top of the top where people are like, wow, you did a great job. If AD wants to profile what you got going on. So it was really, really cool. Kudos to your husband that he did an incredible job. You guys really built something so incredible. And you and Mike seem like, I hate saying goal. Like I hate when I say couples. Yeah. I'm like, you guys are relationship goals, but like you guys really seem like you mesh so well. Like how do you kind of balance the home husband life with the work life?
Yeah, therapy.
Yeah.
You know, like we both have invested in therapy through the years. And I think that that is something that like, we're both Pisces. I think that helps dating. I really, honestly, guys, I think dating your own sign for the single people out there, it somehow works. Like he understands me. I understand him. We're both Pisces. So like, we love to like be affectionate, but then we also like our loner time to be creatives. And like, we really do kind of push one another to greatness, I think. And that's what is really important. But I also like screamed at him 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's not all cookies and cream. Mm-hmm. It is definitely, you know, I feel like I'm going to let you, are you guys married?
No, but
we're both in relationships.
We're both in relationships for like 3-ish years with our boyfriends.
And can I ask roughly like what age are you guys?
I'm 23.
You're going to hate us. I'm 26.
Oh my God. Okay. No, I don't hate you. I'm so happy for you. But I will say this, like I'm going to make my kids one day, like sign a contract that they can't get married before like 29 or 30. Cause I have to say like really like living my life and like having my like Italian bartender flings, I have no regrets. And I feel like really like I was ready. My husband was ready. So like it works, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to the Italian bartenders.
Yeah. I feel like I remember you posting something about how you like never thought you wanted to be married until you met your current husband. Is that true?
Did I
make that up?
Yeah. Like even when he asked, I was like, what? Like, I just never, you know, and I think again, like therapy has taught me that that was like me kind of like rebelling against like the goody two shoe Mormon upbringing that I had. Yeah. And I think I finally got out of my own way and did it. And I have to say, it's incredible. It's so great being on a team. And it is just nice to have that like constant support. But I will also say that my husband doesn't like complete me. You know what I mean? Like take him away. Yeah. He hates when I say this, but I'm like, I love you with all my heart and I'm so happy we're married. But like, if we broke up, like I know in my heart, like I'll be okay and you'll be okay. And I really truly think like knowing that, where we both like show up as full human beings has helped so much. So like,
yeah,
it's okay to not be like obsessed with your relationship and only that. Like, you need to really have your own life and your own hobbies and like take care of you.
Definitely. Absolutely. I feel like the relationship is so much better when you yourself are just comfortable with yourself. You love yourself, your partner, it feels the same way. Because like you said, you guys, you know, both Pisces, so you like to be together, but you also like to be alone. And I feel like when people don't understand alone time in a relationship, it just creates a huge problem. Like, no, you need to be with me. It's like, no, like, I'm a human being. I gotta chill out alone.
Yeah. Codependency, guys, look it up. It's something you got to work through. But again, like therapy, because like I just went to the Hoffman Institute last year and learned so much about like they break down like patterns that you have from your parents and how like sometimes like the bad things that you learned when you were little show up when you're like fighting with your, you know, significant other. So now I'm like, okay, before I blow up, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling like this? Like therapy really does help a lot because we're all just screwed up, you know? All of us.
Absolutely. I actually just recently started going to therapy and each week I feel the same way. I'm like, oh, like I don't want to go. And then afterwards I'm like, that was great. Like I feel so much better. So I will say it definitely helps. I agree. Therapy is the way.
Yeah.
The bummer situation with therapy though, is like, you'll be like fully crying. You're like, oh my God, that is how I feel about my dad. And they're like, okay, so it's been 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to need to wrap up. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Always. Our session has come to an end. I'll see you next week. And they just hang up and you're like, wait, that was it. Now we can't really talk anymore.
I'm like, I want to cry and talk more.
Yeah. It is true. Rhea always jokes about how she's like, I wish my therapist, like, would tell me more about her life.
So fucking interested. And I think it's because we interview people all the time. So I'm used to like over Zoom asking questions and I'll like go to ask her about her life. And I'm like, this is just not right. This is not it. She doesn't have it. She's like, we're not friends.
She's like, you need to leave. I have to say, I was the same way, guys. When I started, I was like, I talk about myself all day long in the salon. Like all I do is I catch up with clients that I've had for 5 or 10 years. And like, we talk about like where I'm at today. And like, I felt so weird paying somebody because I was like, what? I talk about and get like feedback all day from people. But I guess it's a little bit better to have somebody who's trained to dissect your issues.
That's why they call it therapy.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Or just go get a haircut. Same thing.
Yeah. Yes. Because let me tell you, that definitely helps too. Jen, thank you so much for joining us. We are so, so excited for your book. Everybody can go check it out, go buy it, go read it. Blowing My Way to the Top. I think everyone will learn a lot of really great things from this book. I think you have a lot to share. It's a beautiful cover. You look beautiful.
Thank you. Guys, I got to tell you, like, I really wanted to give you, again, like a guide, but like teach you how to navigate through these really hard times, how like meditation changed my life. I know it sounds so LA, so cliche, but like it really truly has helped me get through 2020 and just talk about, you know, how to keep track of your relationships and like keep up with it all and take care of yourself and also, you know, reach for your goals and be a boss bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's holiday season, so it kind of feels like the perfect holiday gift. If you want to give somebody this, just saying.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is fun.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. We love you very, very much. Bye.